بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our 16th, let me make sure, 16th session, Arabic lessons in fiqh, المستوى الثالث, the third level, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Last week we dealt with الشك في الطهارة, and that was the last subject under the chapter of الوضوء, باب الوضوء. So today, inshallah, what we said we would do is that we would review some of the matters that we discussed in this chapter related to wudu, any definition of wudu, yani the dalil for its being legislated, yani the nawaqid of wudu, sunan of wudu, furud of wudu, and so on, whatever, sihat al-shar, min shar siha, and whatever we covered. We're going to look at some of those areas, not all of them, but yani according to the questions they have here, and we might make up a couple of extra questions. Just to make it fun, right? Because you had a chance to write all the answers to these questions. So now we might bring in a couple of very, very, very easy questions in addition to what we covered. Anyway, it's open book test. Open book. And you had a chance to open your book the whole week, but you're going to close it now. Open and close. Okay. Let's look. We're on page 24. As-ilatun. As-ilatun. What is the meaning of as-ila?
Questions.
Questions. And it's singular?
Su'al.
Su'al. And the answer in Arabic is?
Jawab.
Jawab. And it's plural? Ajwibatun. As-ilatun wa ajwibatun. So here we have as-ilatun, and you have the ajwibatun. The answers. Huh? You got it, Khaled? Anybody who doesn't get the answer right, you entitled to whack them one time. With a stick up there on top of the ceiling. It's too heavy? So get a twig or something. A miswhack. Fave, question number one. ما حكم الوضوء وما دليل الدليل على هذا الحكم؟ ما حكم الوضوء وما الدليل على هذا الحكم؟ Okay, first part of the question, what is the hukm? We're going to give Omar the first chance. He's the oldest of this group that had their hands up. What is the hukm of al-wudu?
حكمه واجب على من أراد الصلاة أو الطواف.
جيد. يعني حكمه واجب على من أراد الصلاة أو الطواف. أو يعني أي عبادة يعني تحتاج إلى الطهارة. يعني so the ruling concerning wudu, يعني when we say what is the حكم, we mean يعني حكم شرعي. What is the ruling in the Sharia? يعني is it يعني فرض? Is it مستحب? Is it حرام? Is it مكروه? Is it مباح? يعني what is the حكم شرعي? So he said that the hukm shara is wajib. Wajib. Okay, what's the difference between wajib and fard?
Wajib. Ask this question.
Huh? Fard means obligatory. Okay, and wajib means? Oh. Okay, hold on. We're not going to spend a lot of time with this question, but I want you to think for a second. The question is, what is the difference between al-fard wal-wajib? If somebody knows for sure, okay, when I say for sure, that means don't be hasty in raising your hand. If you raise your hand and you answer wrong, there has to be a penalty. Okay? What's the difference between fard and wajib? No? Uh-huh. Okay, so fard is obligatory and wajib is recommended. Okay, you get a penalty. You have to get a penalty. Okay, no more dates or cookies or fruit for you. Until the end of the class. Until the end of the class. Okay, Muhammad, we'll give him the next chance.
He has to write his homework. He has to show his homework next week.
Yeah, you have to show your homework next week. Muhammad. You think? Wait a minute, I said, who knows? Do you know?
I'm halfway.
You halfway. Okay, you get halfway penalty then. Now, what's the answer?
So, fault is something that, there's no, it's fault for everybody.
Okay, fault is something that's fault for everybody. And wajib?
Wajib, it's
only not fault for everybody.
Maybe.
You also get no more eats until the end of the class.
Okay, Sheikh, I know that the user sometimes interchangeably.
He said sometimes they use interchangeably.
For to mean mandatory.
To mean to mandatory.
But there might be some nuances, like some little differences, but I'm not sure about this.
He said there might be some little differences, but he's not sure about that. Now, do Karim.
No,
he gets to eat. All you can eat as much as you like.
May I ask you the question before you answer? Some cases, like he was saying, upon everyone, a barrier or something like that, because some people are not part iron, some cases the part on something, like burying people, another stick.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's go with what he said. What you started with was good, like he said. There's no difference between fard and ayn. These are just two Arabic words. They both mean obligatory.
Right.
And the Hanafi madhab, they make a distinction between fard and ayn. But it has no basis in the Sharia. I mean, that's their opinion. But it's for real, there's no difference between fard and ayn. It means obligatory. Both of them mean obligatory. Okay. Fard and wajib. Sorry. Thank you. Yeah, Abdul Haq. Yani, there's no difference. They both mean it's obligatory. Obligatory. Okay, let's go back. ما حكم الوضوء وما الدليل على هذا الحكم؟ What is the دليل for this حكم? Somebody else. نعم.
دليله الآية السادسة من سورة المائدة وهي
الآية السادسة من سورة المائدة.
نعم.
ها قاها.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا قمتم إلى الصلاة فاغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق وامسحوا برؤوسكم وأرجلكم إلى الكعبين.
طيب, he said that this ayat, six ayat of Surah Al-Ma'idah is a proof. And what is the shahid in this ayat? What's the What wording in the ayat makes us know that it's obligatory?
The order,
فَغْسِلُوا فعل عمل فَغْسِلُوا يعني if you stand up, إِذَا كُنْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ يعني to perform, you intend to make salat, فَغْسِلُوا then you must wash your faces and your hands and wipe your head and wash your feet and so on. يعني the فعل عمر here, we said that the rule is what? الْعَمْرَ يَقْتَضِي الْوُجُوبِ. The amr, the command in the Quran or Sunnah, indicates that something is obligatory. Allah ordered us to do this, that means it's obligatory, unless there's a proof elsewhere that makes us to understand that this command is only mustahab, meaning it's encouragement to do it, but not absolutely mandatory. Now he's going to bring further proof that makes sure and clear that this ayat in the Quran, that that's what it means, obligatory.
من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تقبل صلاة من أحدث حتى يتوضأ.
Now, yani the clear clarification to make, in case there's any doubt, the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the salat of one of you who has invalidated his state of purification is not accepted hatta yatawadda, until he makes ablution. The salat la tuqbalu salatu ahadikum idha ahtatha hatta yatawadda. So the salah is not accepted. If anybody has invalidated the state of purification, their prayer is not accepted. No matter how many times they pray, how perfectly they perform it, if they don't have a state of tahara, prayer is not accepted until they purify themselves, until they make ablution. Well, love the little Bukhari. And in Abu Dawud, la tutimmu salat. Yani the salat is not complete and perfect. Now, okay, second question. Kam faradan lil wudu. Yani, by the way, that question, what is the hukum and what is this evidence? Note that we are concerned not just about what is the ruling, but we're concerned equally, if not more so, about what is the evidence. Because otherwise, people have different opinions. You said it's wajib, he said it's mustahab. He said it's something else. We need evidence. This is very important. So now when you learn the ruling concerning something, you have to learn along with it, it's evidence. You have to learn the evidence with it. And if you memorize it, it's better. Because that way you can say it exactly the way it is. Not, I think it says something like this. And then maybe you memorize, you remembered it wrong. Question number two. Kam fardan lil wudu'i udhkurha. Kam fardan lil wudu'i udhkurha. What is the meaning of the question first?
How many
obligatory duties are there for ablution? How many are the obligations, yani obligatory duties for ablution? And second part of the question, mention them. Okay, so this question, the first part and the second part, one person has to answer both of them. Because the first part is too easy. How many furud are there? Kam fardan? Sitta, he said. Anybody have a different answer? Nobody has seven?
No.
Kam?
Arba'.
Arba'a, he said. Arba'a. Tayyib, good. That's a good answer. Not correct, but it's a good answer. Why he said arba? Anybody know why he said arba?
Yes.
Because he took it directly from the ayah without any other consideration. And this is a point also that whenever you're looking to know what is the Sharia ruling concerning something, you have to gather all the evidences, not one evidence. One evidence indicates that there are four obligatory duties from the ayah. There are four obligatory duties. That's obvious, apparent, zahir. But if you read it a little bit more carefully, you might see something else in there, okay? So, he said four, he said six. So you're right, there are four, plus two more. plus two more. Okay, yeah, Abu Bakr, what are the six? First, let him give us the first four. What are the four you said?
If he gives
four, you complete it with two more to make six.
Yeah.
No, let him give four. Faiz, what are they? Four obligatory duties. Huh? Al-wajhun, washing the face. Al-yadain, the two hands, washing the hands, ra'as, yani mas'ha ra'as, wiping the head, and the feet, al-rijlain, that's al-rijlain. Okay, that's four. Anybody want to give details to it, Abu Bakr? You want to give details to those four?
Yes, begin, yes.
Go ahead. Now, washing the face and part of the face, included in washing the face, is the mouth and the nose. So, therefore, since the nose and the mouth is part of the face, then washing the mouth and rinsing the nose, taking water into the nose and blowing water out of the nose, these are also obligatory. That's one thing. Washing the face, which includes the mouth and nose. Now, washing the hands up to and including the elbows. That's two. Now, wiping the head and minhu, yani part of the head are the ears. Don't forget, you have to also get the ears. Wiping the head, including the ears, which are part of the head. And what's the proof that the ears are part of the head? It just looks like that, right? They look like they're part of the head. Huh?
Hadith,
the hadith, even? A hadith, yeah?
Al-udhunan
min al-ra's. Al-udhunan al-mubtada marfu'un wa lam turafi. Alif al-muthanna. Alif al-Muthanna, al-Udunan min al-Ra'si. No problem, this is Arabic class too, right? Okay, that's two. Oh, he mentioned, okay. Did he mention three or two already? You said the face and you said?
I said the hands.
Okay, hands and the Wiping the head. Okay, now the fourth one. Now, then washing the feet, washing them up to and including the ankles. That's four. So now we need two more. At-tartib. Ahsant, mashallah. He said it is tartib, doing them in order, which means washing the face, and then the hands, and then wiping the head, and then the feet, in that order. Naam. والموالات. And also the sixth one, after tartib, doing them in order, is also obligatory. And then, I mean, there's some difference of opinion about it, but pretty much that's agreed upon for the most part. Naam. And then he said the last one, muwalat, meaning that they have to be done successively, one behind another, meaning that one part, one member of the body that's washed in wudu should not dry before you wash the next one. And you have to make sure that they are done successively. That's excellent, mashallah. Tayyib, ahsanta ya Abu Bakr. Al-yawm, Abu Bakr, you get 6 stars. 6 stars. Naam. Okay, question number 3. Ayyin al-shart. Ya Ibrahim al-Fulani, wa alaykum salam wa barakatuh. You just missed, Jani, you just missed out, khalas. You just missed out. Ayyin al-shart wal-fard wal-mustahab fi ma yali. Ayyin al-shart wal-fard wal-mustahab fi ma yali. Yani, what is the meaning of the question?
The obligation, the recommendation, and the shart,
Naam. Identify, point out, specify the shart, anything that is a precondition for wudu, the fard, anything that's obligatory in wudu, and the mustahab, yani that which is recommended or commendable, yani the sunan, they mean here, the sunan. The mustahab here means the sunan, yani the sunan. Are those things here in this case, in this usage, I mean those things that are mustahab. Yani sunan means it's mustahab, it's beloved, it's recommended, commendable, rewardable. Naam. Yani literally mustahab means what? From hub. Meaning something that is loved by Allah and loved by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how will a person say, it's not fard, it's just sunnah, it's just sunnah, it's just sunan, it's just mustahab. Yani it's just... They are saying what? It's just love by Allah. Yani, that's not enough for you? Subhanallah. You don't love what Allah loves? Ahsanta, ahsanta. You get 6 stars too.
That's what you're looking for.
Okay, so is it fard? Is it mustahab, sunnah? Is it yani shart? This is what we want to know. The first one. At-tasmiyah عند الوضوء. At-tasmiyah. What is the meaning of at-tasmiyah عند الوضوء? To say Bismillah at the time of making ablution. Is it fard? Is it يعني mustahab? Is it a shart? He said it is sunnah min sunan al-wudu. At-tasmiyah. Sunnah min sunan al-wudu. There's a lot of discussion about this, but in any case we know it's definitely at least sunnah. That's clear, no doubt about it. Okay, back. An-niyya. What is an-niyya? The intention. What is an-niyya, ya Musa?
Wajib, that's wajib.
He said the niyya is wajib.
An-niyya shart.
Huh? Let's give him a chance. He just got here late. Is it a shart? Is it fard or is it mustahab? An-niyya. Ya fulani. He said it is shartun. Why are we saying it's shartun? Ya Ibrahim. Wad-dalilu qawluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إنما الأعمال بالنيات. What's the proof that it is a shart? Because the Prophet ﷺ said that indeed actions are judged by intention. So, meaning? What else anymore you want to add to it? خلاص, actions are judged by intentions. Therefore, A person will have that which he has intended. So yani the niyyah is essential. It's essential. Actions will be judged by intention. It's critical. Yani it has to be an intention. Otherwise, it's not worship.
I don't call it zakarna wajibat in fil wudu.
Okay, so he said we don't mention the niyyah as from the wajibat of wudu. Rather, it's something before you do the wudu, you have to make the intention. Before you enter into wudu, you have to have niyyah. So that means it's from the preconditions. Shart, naam, shart, preconditions. It's a condition that you have to have in order for what you're getting ready to do to be valid. You have to have fulfill some preconditions. Okay. After niya, jim, yeah. Naam, if the condition is not fulfilled, the action is not valid. These are conditions for the validity of the act. The jim is غسل اليدين إلى المرفقين. Yani, what does it mean of ghusl al-yadayn ila al-mirfaqayn? Washing the hands up to the elbows. Up to and including, yani, including the elbows. The elbows have to be washed now. So, is this a shart? Fard? He said it is fard fil wudu. وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ يعني مرافق is the plural of مرفق يعني مرفقين both of them. طيب, so this means that washing the hands up to and including the elbows is an essential, obligatory, mandatory part of ablution, and we should add that this washing of the hands up to the elbows, as Al-Imam Ash-Shafi said, means that you have to wash the hands from the fingertips. Not from the wrists, from the fingertips. Up to and including the elbows. Now, okay, after this, dal tayamun fi ghasli al-a'adai. What is the meaning?
Giving preference to the right.
Or beginning, initiating with the right, and washing the limbs of the body that are washed in ablution. Is it a precondition? Or is it, huh? Mustahab. It's mustahab, yani from the sunan of al-wudu. That you start with the right hand, with the, huh? The hadith of Aisha, radiallahu anha, في تناعله وترجله وفي طهوره وفي شأنه كله. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to prefer to always begin with the right in his putting on his footwear, combing his hair, in his matters of purification. وفي أموره كله, in all of his affairs. جيد, أحسنت, ما شاء الله. Okay, ها is إزالة ما يمنع وصول الماء إلى البشر.
التيمن؟
نعم, نعم, مستحب, سنة. طيب, إزالة ما يمنع وصول الماء إلى البشرة. What is the meaning of that expression?
Removal of what prevents the water
through the body.
Yani removal, izala to the removal of that which prevents the water from reaching the direct, yani reaching the skin, direct contact with the body. Yani something that prevents, somebody has something on that prevents the water from touching their skin directly, that has to be removed. Is this a shart or a fard? Or a sunnah. A shart fil wudu li sihhat al wudu. Shart li sihha. Yani the wudu is not valid if you don't remove that which prevents the water from touching the body directly. Because the water doesn't touch the body, you don't have any wudu.
Huh?
How you will wash the body if it is covered with something, whatever it might be. Okay, so this right here we said is what? This removal of this is a shart. Shart. By the way, this is mentioned on page 17, point number 7. I should have mentioned that previously. Anyway, no problem. Anyway, whoever wants to go back and look. Then we have waw, we have mashu al-ra's. Mashu al-ra's. What is the ruling concerning it? Fard min furud al-wudu. It is fard, yani. Wamsahu bi ru'usikum. Yani the ayat that we mentioned in the beginning, Allah ordered to wipe over the heads. And this wiping over the heads, by the way, how is it done?
It is done like this, beginning from the
Front, from the hairline, to the back. When it reached until it reached the neck, not including the neck. And then?
And then back.
And then coming back again to where you started from.
And then go to the
meaning inside the curves and outside, yani with the index finger and the thumb, wiping the ears as well. Zay غسل الأعضاء في الوضوء ثلاثا. Meaning?
Washing the limbs
of wudu three times. What is the ruling? It's mustahab. Yani if a person didn't wash it three times, they're okay, right?
No.
Yani suppose they like said, I wash it four times. It's good?
No.
Oh, bid'ah. Zulm. Khata. Sayyya. Huh? Yani meaning washing three times is mustahab. But even if you wash two times, it's okay. If you wash one time, it is okay. But the second and third extra is more complete and perfect. And this is mustahab. Mustahab. Yani is sunnah. It's sunnah. And then, oh, that's the last one that they mentioned. And this, yani washing the parts of the body three times, mentioned on page 19, number 8. Yani from the sunan of wudu. Okay, after this, question number 4. Udhkur nawaqid al-wudu. Udhkur nawaqid al-wudu. Yani what? Mention the what?
The nullifiers
of wudu. The things that nullify or invalidate the wudu. Meaning a person is in a state of purification and then something happened or they did something or whatever that invalidated the wudu. Ya Ibrahim al-Fulani. Oh, you raised two hands? Okay. So we're going to start with you. You give the first two and then you give the next two.
من نواقض الوضوء كل ما خرج من السبيلين.
Okay, from the obligatory, from the things that invalidate wudu or whatever came from the two what? Openings, passages from the front and the back. Now. Uh-huh.
سواء أكان بولا أو غائطا أو ريحا أم غير ذلك.
Okay, so it means that whatever came out of these openings, whether it is what? Urine, feces,
wind passing,
or other than that.
Yes.
Now.
وكذلك إذا خرج البول أو الغائط من غير السبيلين كالخروج كالجرح لقوله تعالى أو جاء أحد منكم من الغائط.
And if a person went to relieve themselves, even if the urine or feces came from other than the normal two passages, because of some medical condition or whatever, they have some opening to relieve themselves because they're not functioning, then also still it invalidates. Okay, this is the first one. Second one. Now he's going. The one is sufficient. Ibrahim.
زوال العقل أو تغطيته بسكر أو إغماء أو نوم أو جنون أو دواء.
You mentioned five things. Okay, what is the translation of this? Meaning?
زوال
العقل.
The removal of the intellect.
The removal of the intellect. A person losing their intellectual capacity, ability. They're not able to think properly. Now.
Or being overwhelmed
or covered so that it's not functioning properly. Yeah, it's not completely gone, but it's not functioning properly. Now.
With
intoxication.
Whether it's from intoxication or fainting,
unconsciousness,
or sleeping,
or
insanity, or dawa, or due to some kind of medication. Maybe a person is taking some medication that makes them not be able to think properly. Or maybe they're taking some intoxicants. Or maybe they lost their mind, they became insane. Or maybe they're just sleeping, or they became unconscious. Any time a person is in that condition where they don't know what's going on, then they're required to make ablution anew. Now, Abu Bakr, give us number 3. Yani touching, coming direct contact with, without anything in between, touching the private areas, the genitals. Fi tafsil, no. Okay, what's your tafsil? He says fi tafsil. Okay, he wants to give some more explanation. Tafadhal.
Masul farj biduni ha'il bishahwatin.
Bishahwatin, he said. Okay, not just touching the genitals without anything in between, but with shahwa, yani with some kind of sexual desire, yani being accompanying it. Because if a person just touches it, yani like they touch their foot or their arm or their leg or their back, it doesn't invalidate wudu. And since you had the tafsil, we hope you have a dalil. Okay, the dalil is
Muhammad.
Okay, but
which
hadith? Talq ibn Habib. Yani if a person, a question asks, if a person touched their genitals, yani do they have to make ablution? And the Prophet ﷺ said,
"Qala Nabi sallallahu
alaihi wasallam, la innama huwa bid'atun minka. Akhrajahu al-khamsah wa sahahu ibn Hibban." Okay, akhrajahu al-khamsah wa sahahu ibn Hibban. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said that it is a what? It is a part of his body. It's just no more than a part of the body. Yani that indicates to us what? That means as long as the person touches it the way they touch any other part of their body without any sexual desire, then that's no, it doesn't invalidate al-wudu, and that's part of the discussion. Okay, how many is that? 1, 2, 3? One more, 4. Musa. Oh, okay. Yeah, Omar. You, Omar, you're older than Musa?
Tekallama
kathiran. You want to give Musa a chance?
He's older than Musa.
Omar.
You're older, Omar. You can take your pick as you like.
He's older. Who older? You. I know your age. I know your age.
You want to take this one or you want to pass?
Okay. Wa aklu lahmi
ibl. Okay. Meaning?
The eating of camel meat.
Eating camel meat. Lahm ibili. Yani aklo lahmi ibili. Eating the flesh of the camel invalidates wudu. What's the proof? Naam. In summary. In summary. Naam. Yani the person asks, shall I make wudu from the flesh of the sheep? He said, no, unless you want to. Fadl, naam. And then he said, shall I make wudu from the eating the flesh of the camel? And he said, naam, make ablution from the eating the meat of the camel. Tayyib. That's what? Nawakir al-wudu. Nawakir al-wudu. Okay, number 5. Mata yustahab lil-mutawaddi' أن يقول أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله to the end. يعني when is it considered to be يعني beloved, praiseworthy, commendable, rewardable for the person performing ablution to say أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. When is it commendable to say يا محمد
لا إله
Muhammad bin Sa'id. يعني at the end of the ablution, بعد الوضوء, عند فراغ من الوضوء. يعني it's commendable to say. And what is the evidence for this? Evidence for this, يعني saying أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله at the end of the wudu. هذا حديث, very important حديث. صلى الله عليه وسلم.
من قال أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بعد الوضوء فتحت له أبواب الجنة.
أبواب الجنة فتحت مبني للمجهول.
أبواب الجنة يدخل من أيها
شاء. Whoever says this supplication after wudu, the eight doors of paradise, futihat mabniun lil majhul, futihat lahu abwab al jannah al thamaniya. The eight doors of paradise will be opened for that person to enter whichever one he or she wills, choose, likes, whichever one you want to enter, mashallah. So this is something that actually we should give attention to. Person makes wudu, try to remember to supplicate after making ablution. طيب, question number 6. اذكر دليلا على اشتراط النية في الوضوء. يعني دليل على اشتراط النية في الوضوء. موسى, نعم. خذ وفز.
إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى.
Meaning?
Early actions are judged by intention. And for every man is that which he has intended.
For every person is that which he has intended. يعني, verily, indeed, actions are judged by intentions. إنما الأعمال بالنيات. And every person will have that which they intended. متفق عليه. So if a person, and who's the narrator?
Umar
ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنه أمير المؤمنين. Now Abu Hafs, Sayyid, Ahsant. يعني that, so therefore, any actions are judged by intentions, therefore, يعني it is incumbent, يعني that a person in any act of worship, that they make sure that they have intention, that they're doing it purely for the sake of Allah alone. His actions will be judged according to intentions, therefore it is a condition, يعني a shart, that a person makes intention. We have to be conscious of what we're doing. And a person should have intention when you make a wudu. You should have intention when you're leaving your house. You should have intention when you're walking down the street going to the masjid, that my intention is to go to the masjid for the purpose of salat. And in that case, if a person has that intention, then they will get a lot of reward, right? Because the person going to the masjid for salat, how will they be rewarded? Yani by their every step. By their every step, they will be rewarded, subhanAllah. But what if a person has no intention? They're just walking around in a daze. They don't really, they're not paying attention to what they're doing and where they're going. Then it will not be the same. Because there has to be, yani, as the Prophet ﷺ said in reference to other matters, and it's applicable to all of them, yani, there has to be iman wa ihtisab. And ihtisab means that a person is conscious of what they're doing. They're expecting, anticipating, hoping for reward from Allah. If they have ihtisab, the reward is going to be multiplied. Okay, number 7. اذكر دليلا على ترتيب بين الأعضاء والوضوء. This is a good question here. اذكر دليلا على ترتيب بين أعضاء الوضوء. What is the meaning of the question?
Mention
the evidence for the ترتيب, the order of the washing of the limbs or the members of the body in wudu. What's the dalil that for this tartib, that it has to be in order? The dalil, let's let him start, inshallah. See how far you can go with it. Dalil qawlu ta'ala.
Fa'asilu wujuhakum, thumma aydiyakum.
Thumma?
Fa'asilu wujuhakum wa aydiyakum.
Wa, naam, wow, wow al-atf. يعني إذا قمت من الصلاة يا الذين إذا قمت من الصلاة فانسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق وامسحوا برؤوسكم wa arjulakum il ka'bayn. Notice that each of these parts that are mentioned here, the tartib, are mentioned with waw al atf. Does waw al atf indicate tartib?
La.
La. Waw al atf does not indicate tartib. Fa writing sound. Fa indicates tartib. Thumma indicates tartib. You see, he tried to put thumma in there to indicate tartib, but there's no thumma in this ayat. It's waw al atf. Yani limutlaq al jam. Yani waw al atf. It's simply used to combine between things, not order. It doesn't indicate order. So how is that a proof? Ya Ibrahim al-Fulani. Yani he's saying that the general statement of Allah begin with what Allah began with is a proof of tartib, because Allah began with, in the ayat, washing the face, and then the hands, and then the head, and then the feet. And the Prophet ﷺ said, yani to begin with that which Allah began with, even though that hadith is in reference to Hajj, yani as-safa wal marwa, but in any case, the general meaning of it indicates something like tartib. More specific dalil.
I don't read an akmila ma yabda'u.
ما بدأ به عمر.
ولكن في لغة الإنجليزية.
تفضل لا بأس. That way we can all understand it. Okay. Listen to this istidlal here. Very important. Wow. Okay, come on, guys. What is it?
The reason why, because in Arab say, or in Arabic, they say that the things that are together, we put them together. So, if there were no need, so in that case, Allah would have, because when Allah says, Fasilu, Wujuhakum, Wa Aydiyakum, those are Mansur. And also, Arjulakum is also Mansur. Allah would have put them together. But you put in between Wamsahu Ru'usikum, and the Ru'usikum is Majrur. So it is because there is an order.
Yeah, in other words, Allah mentions this ayat, washing the face, washing the hands, wiping the head, and washing the feet. So in Arabic language, those things which are similar or alike, they are not separated except for some reason. So why didn't Allah say, wash the faces and the hands and the feet, since all of those are maghsulat? And then come with the wiping of the head, al-mamsuh. But why did he, yani, separate the things which are washed and put in between them, wiping? Because the need for the order. Otherwise, the normal in Arabic language is that, yani you don't separate لا يفصل نذير عن نذيره. Yani you don't separate that which is equal or similar to something from that which it is similar to. So there are three things mentioned here that are washed and one that is wiped. The three things that are washed, they should have, yani all mansubat should have been together, and the majrur, yani the mamsuh, should have been separate from them. But rather, it is mixed in between them because of what? Because of the need for the order. The order. Washing the face, hands. Head came next in order, even though it's not from the things that are washed. It could have come in the end, separate from them, but instead it came in between them in order to maintain the order. This is a very important istidlal, yani from the scholars of Islam, mashallah, how they observed such meticulous matters. Okay, and our time is running out. I don't know, is it running out? But in any case, it's running. Question number 8. ماذا يفعل من شك في الطهارة? ماذا يفعل من شك فالطهارة. What is the meaning?
What does the one who has doubt in his purification
do? What should the person do who has doubt about his state of purification? What must that person do? Yeah.
Fulan.
No, Fulan. We call him Fulani too much. Let's give the old man a chance. Give the old man a chance.
That's Soniki.
Right.
Bana ala.
Yani, the person who has doubt about his state of tahara, we understand from that means that he's certain about, yani, the absence of tahara, but he's not sure that he gets tahara. So that means he should base it upon al-yaqeen. And the yaqeen, there's doubt about tahara, but there's certainty about the absence of tahara. And there's no yani what? La ibrah. Yani there's no weight, no yani consideration given to the doubt. Yani I'm in doubt about something, we don't give that any weight. Has no consideration. Throw that away and go with that which you are certain about. So what if a person has shak about his yani absence of tahara? Now, so and if a person has doubt about their hadath, yani their invalidation of their yani state of purification, then that which they're in doubt about, yani has no consideration, but rather they should base their position upon that which they are certain about. In this case, yani they are certain about tahara, and therefore they should base it upon this, because that which you are certain about is not taken away. It is not removed by a doubt. It's not removed by a doubt. Rather, that which we are certain about, we stand firmly upon this. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy for the Muslim yani to handle every affair. You're in doubt about something, you're sure about something else, go with that which you're sure about. Certainty is not removed by doubt. And this is a long topic that we discussed in a little bit more detail, but this is yani basically what came in our book. Question number 9, مَدْ دَلِيلُ عَلَى مَشْرُوعِيَّةِ الْمَصْحِ عَلَى الْخُفِّ وَالْجَوْرَبَيْنِ. What is the dalil for the legislation of wiping over leather socks and regular socks? Leather socks and regular socks. Okay, now Fulani. Oh, Musa is here too? Okay, Ibrahim, go ahead.
Musa akbaru sin.
Oh, akbaru? Yeah, Musa.
Asabi.
Wait, please be
Asabi.
An Hammam An-Naqi radiyallahu anhu all
An-Naqi.
النخعي رضي الله عنه
رضي الله عنه
قال بال جرير ابن عبد الله رضي الله عنه ثم توضأ ومسح على خفيه فقيل بلت تفعل هذا وقد بلت قال نعم رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالا رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالا ثم يتوضأ
ثم توضأ
ومسح على كفيه.
جيد.
ما دليل هذا؟
رواه إمام البخاري ومسلم.
Okay, Hammam ibn Naqai radiallahu anhu, he said that Jarir ibn Abdullah urinated and then he performed ablution and then he wiped over his khufs, and it was said to him, do you do like this while you have urinated and you just and he make ablution wiping over your khufs? He said, Na'am, I saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam urinate and perform ablution and wipe over his two khufs. Reported by Bukhari and Muslim. Yani, what's the proof in this hadith? طيب هذا دليل على مسألة الخفين. نعم على الخفين
محل
الشاهد
أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فعله.
محل الشاهد أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم did that. He said رأيت رسول الله doing just like this. It's not the proof in him doing it. Proof is that he saw. He knows that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did so. Okay, so what is the proof about wiping over جوربين? Naam, I don't know, I got three hands up.
Tafadda. Qad rawa an kathirin minas...
Qad ruya. Ruya an kathirin minas sahaba.
An kathirin minas sahabatu. Minan sahabati. Qala Abu Dawood wa... Abu Dawood masaha ala jawrabayn. Aliyun, Abi Talib.
Okay, let's stop here just for a second. Yani he's saying the proof of wiping over the jawrabain, not just leather socks but regular socks, is that it has been narrated from many of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and Al-Imam Abu Dawud in his Sunan, and he narrates some of those companions from whom it is authentically reported that they used to wipe over regular socks. And the first of them he mentioned is Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Yani one of the foremost leading companions, best of them, highest of the best of them in knowledge, very, yani from the knowledge, most knowledgeable of Sahaba, yani the son-in-law of the Prophet ﷺ and his cousin and the fourth Khalifa. Yani Ali ibn Abi Talib used to do it. Did I have any weight with you? Should. Ali ibn Abi Talib. Who else used to do it? Abdul ibn Mas'ud. And who else? Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu and Anas ibn Malik, huh? Abu Umama radiallahu anhum. Huh? Oh, Sa'd. Sa'd. Sahal ibn Sa'd. Sa'd, now. Radiallahu anhu. And also? Umar. Or Amrun. Al-Hurayth, Amr ibn Hurayth, naam. And Umar ibn al-Khattab, and Abdul ibn Umar, and Abdul ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. How many Sahaba we have here? From amongst them, Khulafa al-Rashidin al-Mahdiin, Umar ibn al-Khattab, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abdul ibn Abbas, Abdul ibn Umar, Abdul ibn Mas'ud, subhanallah. Anas ibn Malik, Abu Mas'ud al-Badri, subhanallah, وغيرهم. And also, it is also narrated authentically from the Prophet ﷺ that he did so, and we discussed the hadith in some detail, the difference of opinion about it, and what the scholars said about it is clearly authentic. Now, oh, last question, number 10, ما شروط المس على الخفين وما في معناهما. What is the meaning of the question first?
What's the precondition for the wiping over the socks?
What's this mean?
What is the evidence for the legislation of wiping over the hoof and the socks?
What is the precondition? We're on 10.
What's the precondition for
wiping over the socks? Okay, listen. The reason why I want you to pay attention to this. Ma shurut al mashi al. That's clear, right? No. What is the preconditions for wiping over leather socks? And then while al atif came. And
meaning
and what is the preconditions for wiping over? Yani the meaning of this question is ma shurut al mas al khafain al khafain wa ma shurut al mas ala ma fi ma'anahu. Yeah, there's two parts to the question. What is the preconditions for wiping over leather socks? And what are the preconditions for wiping over ma fi ma'anahu? What does it mean of ma fi ma'anahu? What is in its meaning? What does that mean? What is in its meaning?
Huma,
right? Huma. Now. Ma fi ma'ana ma. Ma is ma al-mawsula. Alladhi fi ma'anahuma. Okay.
What is the meaning of it?
Listen, this is the meaning of the question. This is the meaning of the question. What are the preconditions for wiping over leather socks? Wow al-Atif means, and what are the preconditions for wiping over ma, yani al-ladhi, wiping over al-ladhi fi ma'anahuma, yani that which has the same meaning as the two leather socks. Ma'anahuma means the meaning of the two of them, the two leather socks. Yani what is the conditions for wiping over? Khufain, two leather socks. And what is the conditions for wiping over that which has the same meaning as them? Meaning other socks that are not leather. other socks that are not leather. Any expression? Fi ma ma'anahuma. Ma ma'anahuma means that which has the same meaning as leather socks, but they're not leather socks. They're regular socks. They're regular socks. So now we want to what? The preconditions for wiping over leather socks or any other socks. Or any other socks. What are the preconditions? What are the shurut? Yani he said that they have to be worn in a state of purification. What do you mean by that? They have to be worn in a state of purification. Okay, this question, I'm asking this question for a reason. So be careful, okay? He said you had to have washed the 2 feet before you put on the socks. With water. Okay, because you say ala tahara, there's tahara with water and tahara without water. So a person, if they put them on after having washed the feet with water, that's the first precondition, that you had to have washed them with water before you put those socks on. That's
just
it. It says here, ma shurut. Shurut is, yani, more than one. We only gave me one precondition.
And use the right of wiping in 24 hours for the resident, the traveler.
Good.
That's not in the shurut, right?
That's not a condition. Yani, it's not a condition that you have to. He's saying that a precondition for the validity of wiping over the socks is that it has to be within the fixed time period. If it's outside of that time period, it's not valid. So he's saying that is a condition. In order for it to be valid, it has to be within the time period. If you're a resident and more than 24 hours went by, you can't wipe. If you're a traveler and more than 3 days went by, you can't wipe. That's a precondition. Naam, that's a condition for the validity of wiping, that you have a time period. It can't be outside. It has to be within that time period. Now, you want to... No, before we go to another one, we want to clarify this precondition. Yani, so what does that mean? That if I wash my feet at 4 o'clock in the morning for Fajr, and I put the socks on, and the next day at 4 o'clock, can I still wipe?
Yes.
I have 24 hours, right? Okay, what if I get up the next day a little bit late and it's 5 o'clock? Can I wipe?
It depends on when you use the wipe.
It doesn't start from the time that you washed your feet. It doesn't start from the time you put the socks on. It starts from the time that you used the permission to wipe over the feet. So that means maybe at 4 o'clock in the morning I wash my feet and put my socks on. But, yani, I prayed Fajr and at 8 o'clock, I invalidated my ablution. So does it start from 8 o'clock?
No.
At 9 o'clock, I wanted to pray Salatul Duha, so I wiped over my socks. It starts from that time. So from that time, 9 o'clock, until 9 o'clock the next day, I have 24 hours, I can wipe. That's second condition. Now.
And you must not remove the socks.
Is that absolute?
No, I'm saying.
I'm just asking, is that absolute? He said you must not remove the socks.
To wipe over.
Okay, what if I remove my socks and then I put them back on and wiped over them? You say I can't do that?
You cannot, you have to wash it for
you. No.
Is that absolute?
No.
If you remove the socks.
Okay, correct him a little bit, please, somebody.
If you wash your feet,
uh-huh,
and then you put the socks and
uh-huh,
you wipe off,
uh-huh,
if you remove it, you have to wash it again before you.
He said you can't remove them.
As long as you're in the state of purification.
As long as you're in a state of purification, you can remove them. Because when you put them back on, you're still in a state of purification. You can remove them as long as you didn't invalidate your state of purification. Now, if you invalidated your state of purification and you wiped over them, now you can't take them off. Because now you didn't put them on in a state of purification from washing your feet.
Right.
You put them on in a state of purification of wiping over your socks. That's different. I said, we want clarification of what you said. You can't take the socks off. You can't take them off once you have wiped over them. But if you never wiped over them and you never lost your state of purification, you can take them off and put them back on. Because just like you put them on the same time when you washed them, if an hour later you never invalidated your wudu and you took them off, when you put them on, are you putting them on in a state of tahara from water?
No.
So that's good.
What I was saying, no, that's what I meant. Like,
I know that's what you meant, but I want a clarification because you didn't give any clarification. I know what you meant. We want clarification. We want it to be clear because this is the issue. A lot of confusion about this issue. A lot of confusion. Okay, you have to have washed the feet with water before you put them on. And you cannot wipe over them. Yani, when you make a new wudu and take them off after that. But before you invalidate your wudu, you can take them off and put them back on. Now.
Let a quick confirmation.
Now.
You can use it as long as you are not in a state of janaba.
That is also a condition. That wiping over the socks, it can only be used for minor state of impurity. It cannot be used for a major state of impurity from janaba. Right. Major state of impurity. You can't wipe over the socks. So this is also yani, a condition for the validity of it. Yani, in other words, the person wiped over their socks while they were in a state of janaba and they wiped over their socks. That's invalid. That's invalid. So that's also a condition. It has to be for minor impurity. This is the last question, inshallah. We still have a few minutes, but we're going to stop here.
And also, Sheikh. Sheikh Al-
the Dalil?
No.
Or what?
And this one. Wipe it over. Oh, the mana is different from this.
Ma'anahuma means other things other than leather socks. But we already talked about that. We said, Kathir and Sahaba. And not only that, but even the hadith that there's some difference of opinion about, the stronger view concerning the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ wiping over regular socks is that it's authentic. Wallahu a'lam. Anyway, now.
Al-Uthaymeen added some few conditions.
Yani, that's from the conditions he added. In the book, we didn't mention these conditions. The timing and the minor and major purification. That's not mentioned in the book. That's mentioned by Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen. Now, okay, we're going to stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Next week, inshallah, please preview Kitab al-Salat. Next week, we're going to start with Kitab al-Salat on page 26.